Hey, welcome to Carl Brizzy Live. It's Carl Brizzy here with our podcast. Rob Kendall, our producer. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Carl, we have a big topic to start the show today. It's one you're very familiar with. There is a huge Democrat primary for sheriff in Marion County. What's going on with that?
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. So Bill Benjamin, who used to be a deputy chief with IMPD, is running against the slated candidate, Kerry Forrestal, for the sheriff's nomination. And, you know, in simplest terms, this race comes down to asking voters who are voting in the primary, do they have confidence in the leadership of the old guard? You know, this is the same guard that for the past 3 years have presided over record homicide rates in Indianapolis.
So this is an interesting race to me because Marion County, and I think Lake County too, they're the only two counties in the state left that still do the slating. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And here's the thing about slating. It's corrupt. It is a corrupt political process designed by the people who want to hold power to basically put the people that they are endorsing in power. And Bill Benjamin and others, Senator Greg Taylor and Representative John Bartlett, again, all Democrats, went to the Marion County Committee, the Democratic Committee, and basically said, look, we'll consider going through slating if slating is going to be a fair process. And after they had those discussions with the people in charge, they came away from it and said, look, we're not going to pay $14,000 to participate in a process that's rigged, that's fixed. And so they didn't go through slating. And now, in less than 2 weeks, there's going to be a primary.
Yeah, so once upon a time, if you didn't have the party apparatus behind you in Marion County, you're toast. You might as well not even participate. But as things like the internet and social media made campaigning easier, it's been easier to go around that apparatus. It seems like these guys not only have a chance, but in the case of Bill Benjamin, who's the running to be the Democrat nominee for Marion County Sheriff, he may win.
No, I'm going to tell you, I think he's going to win. I've been involved in the campaign. I'm on the campaign committee. I'm helping to steer it. And what I have seen is a definite momentum shift. And Rob, as you know, you've run for office before and have been involved in campaigns. Politics is all about the momentum. And politics is all about the contrast between the candidates. Bill Benjamin was my go-to homicide detective when I was prosecutor. And there is no better cop on the streets than Bill Benjamin. He's a man of integrity. He's also a very large man. He's imposing as all get out. And just, you know, the sheer size of the guy would make people not want to commit crimes where he's patrolling.
Now, Rob Kendall, Carl Brizzy, discussing the Democrat side of the primary election for Marion County Sheriff, Bill Benjamin, Kerry Forrestal going at it. Forrestal, the party machine's pick. Benjamin, the outsider. They're in a very tight race. I saw Benjamin speak last year. We spoke at a Tea Party group.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, I wasn't up on Marion County Sheriff's race 8-9 months ago. It wasn't until the end I knew the guy was a Democrat.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the crazy thing about it. So here he is speaking to Republican Tea Partiers. You know, some folks, you know, folks want to put people in a box. They want to label people, right? They want to Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian people. We are talking about, you know, police, prosecutors, these people transcend politics. You're not asking them for their policy positions on, you know, things like abortion or other things that you would ask people running for Congress or for the Senate. You're voting for people who are going to clean up the streets. And it doesn't matter what their party label is. And people should absolutely consider crossing over those party lines to vote for the best person.
It was a really interesting speech he gave, and I spoke after him, and I'll tell you what, it was really impressive. Now, you're a Republican. You're a former Republican elected official. Are you getting a lot of heat for openly supporting a Democrat?
No, nobody cares what I do anymore, which is actually, it's great, right? I have nothing to lose, and it's truly liberating because, again, Bill and I have known each other for, 15 years? And when I heard he was running, we had breakfast, and you know, it reminded me of all the great work that we did together. You know that when he was in charge of homicide investigations for the city, that he had a clearance rate, Rob, for homicides 81%, 81% clearance rate, the highest clearance rate in the nation. Do you know what IMPD's clearance rate is now?
What is it?
40%.
Wow.
40%. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, which is going to blow your mind. The prosecutor's office, you take that 40%, which means that if you commit murder in Indianapolis, you have a 6 in 10 chance of never even being arrested for it. You take that number, the people who do get arrested and face charges, the Marion County prosecutor, Terry Curry, has a 40% conviction rate.
Rob Kendall, Carl Brizzi discussing the hotly contested primary contest on the Democrat side for Marion County Sheriff. Kerry Forrestal, the party establishment choice, Bill Benjamin, the outsider, Carl supporting Bill Benjamin. You guys somehow got Babyface to come here for a rally.
Yeah, Babyface was here on Tuesday night, came into Indianapolis. Bill and Babyface have been childhood friends.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, known each other, you know, since they were 5 years old, spending the night at each other's homes, Babyface's mom, you know, feeding Bill and all this stuff. And so, yeah, so he came in last night for a rally. We had a rally at the Willows over there on Westfield and Broad Ripple. And Babyface was there. He spoke. Bill spoke. We had about 500 people come out. Totally organic, Rob.
That's awesome.
We spread the message through the internet.
And I say that's awesome, not because I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't live in Marion County, but it's awesome to see people involved in the political process.
Well, you may not live in Marion County, but let me tell you, as somebody who's experienced what happens when you have this kind of a crime rate and how it extends out into the suburbs, right? What happens in Indianapolis, what happens in Indianapolis absolutely matters to the donut counties.
Now, Carl, you go ahead. Sorry.
That sense of lawlessness that builds when you have less than a 4 in 10 chance of getting arrested when you commit murder, that sort of lawlessness effect builds on itself and extends out to the counties where you wouldn't expect to necessarily have the same sort of violent crime. It goes back to Rudy Giuliani and the broken windows theory. You take care of the little stuff and the big stuff takes care of itself. But if you ignore the little stuff and if you ignore what's going on in Indianapolis, that will eventually reach the other counties as well.
If Benjamin beats Forrestal.
You mean when?
Yeah, okay. In your words, when?
I'm with you.
It's the power of positive thinking. That's it for slating, right? I mean, the Marion County Democrat Party might as well just fold up, right?
Well, listen, there is no reason for slating to exist now. So the fact, you know, it's an anachronism now. And I don't think slating has, I think it's dying a very slow death, but it's going to die.
Let's talk about the final 2 weeks of this race, because obviously in a close race, whether it's the U.S. Senate primary, which is a statewide race, or something local like Marion County Sheriff's primary, get out the vote usually is the decider. When you don't have that party apparatus behind you, how do you get out the vote?
Well, it's all organic, right? So, you know, last night we had 500 people. We have every expectation that those 500 people are going to bring 3 people to the polls. People are volunteering like crazy for this campaign. You mentioned to me before we went on the air that you've seen all kinds of Bill Benjamin yard signs everywhere. You know, the other side, you know, doesn't think that we have the ability to raise money. We certainly do. He's running radio ads on all of the right stations in terms of get out the vote. And our campaign committee, you know, I jokingly refer to it as sort of the campaign of the committee of misfit toys, because everyone on the campaign is a volunteer. There's not a single paid member of the staff. So everybody is doing it out of a labor of love and because they want to turn Indianapolis around.
Now, why I like you, Brizzy, for many reasons, but you're a straight shooter.
Yes.
You don't care about anything. You always say exactly what you think.
I try to be as truthful as possible.
And we were talking before we went on the air, and you were just open about it. I said, really smart on the signs, because you seem to be strategically placing signs with Benjamin's face on them in African-American neighborhoods, and you made no bones about it. You said, our goal is to turn those people out.
Well, right. I mean, Bill Benjamin is a black man running for sheriff. And when you look at the numbers of the people who are being killed, it's certainly not exclusively young African-American men, but it certainly is a majority of young African-American men. And when I worked with Bill, he was a known commodity in the neighborhoods. People trusted him. And, you know, we didn't have witness protection programs like the mayor does now, the mayor and the prosecutor had, because we didn't need them, right? Because people came forward and they trusted Bill Benjamin and the people who worked for him with the information to solve the crimes. And that's why crime was at its lowest when Bill Benjamin was deputy chief. So, of course, I'm not going to make any bones about it. If we turn out the black vote, which is the community most affected by violence, we win. Hey, you're listening to the Carl Brizzi Show. I'm Carl Brizzi. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Carl Brizzi, former Marion County prosecutor. When I was prosecutor, I had a saying that criminals have a choice, victims don't. Now that I'm in private practice, I represent people who were injured who also didn't have a choice. I'm at Lewis and Wilkins. You can find me, contact me, carlbrizzilive.com. Welcome back to the Carl Brizzi Show. It's Carl Brizzi here. I want to talk for a few minutes about immigration because oral argument was heard in the Supreme Court on Wednesday on Trump versus Hawaii on the so-called travel ban, Rob. Did you know that?
I did. I was aware of that, and it seems like there's a whole lot of judicial activism going on these days.
Oh, you just, man, gosh, you know, you and I think alike. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about is the judicial activism and the interference in the separation of powers. So here's what's going on. This travel ban is banning travel from eight countries. And this case deals with President Trump's third version of the travel ban. The first two versions were enjoined by the court. They were prevented from going into effect by judges in the Fourth and Ninth Circuits. The third version was also enjoined by those circuits, and the Supreme Court, after suspending the orders and allowing the proclamation to go in effect, heard oral arguments Wednesday on Trump v. Hawaii. Now, to be clear, Rob, we're talking about unadmitted foreign nationals. They are the subject of this third order. They are not citizens, they are not residents, and they have no right to admission to the United States. And what the court has done is created this legal fiction for them to actually have standing to sue.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a man of the law. That's how I describe you to my friends. My buddy Brizzi, he's a man
you.
Of the law.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't that long ago that you were an elected prosecutor. What?
Like, right. No.
When was your last year in office?
2010.
When you were in office in 2010, was there anywhere near this level of judicial activism like there is today? I mean, it seems like the law doesn't even matter anymore. It's all about partisan politics.
Well, I think this is all part of people's brains melting down because Trump is president, right? And so you're seeing all of these lines being crossed, and this is one of them. The Supreme Court has previously held, and this was back in the 80s, that an alien, and I'm going to say alien, I'm not going to say undocumented, I'm going to say illegal alien or an alien, seeking admission in the United States has no constitutional rights regarding his application. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Meaning, you're not a citizen and you can't sue the United States for denying you admission. There's another case emphasized by the DOJ that says an alien who seeks admission to the country may not do so under any claim of right. And yet, here you have these cases where would-be immigrants are challenging the order as a claim of right. And they're basically saying that because President Trump tweeted out some comments that this is somehow racist.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You know, we'll see what happens. But I mean, this absolutely has far reaching effects in terms of, how much judicial encroachment there's going to be over how the borders are regulated. You know, I've talked about this before. I've written about it. You cannot have a safe, secure country without borders. You need borders. Borders are necessary. You need to know who's coming into the country. All you have to do is look at some European countries to see what unfettered immigration does.
I'm not a constitutional scholar, Carl, and I don't even pretend to play one on the radio. That's why I'm friends with people like you who know the law. But it would seem to me, in my broad understanding of the Constitution, that these are clearly powers that rest inside the executive branch.
Well, you would think so, right? But you have these activist judges in the Fourth and the Ninth Circuit that are literally taking it upon themselves to get around the separation of powers and to do this kind of judicial activism that obviously has serious policy implications for the security of our country. And I think that we are we are headed down the wrong road. And look, this is just a series. You know, this is just one in a series of instances where we've seen, you know, this institutional power go above and beyond what it has traditionally done in an attempt to thwart the president. And look, I'm not an apologist for Trump. Because he is our president, I want him to be successful. But even more important than what happens over the next, let's say, 3 years as Trump is the president, what about the next guy, right? I mean, are we ever going to be able to rein this back in? We've seen abuses with the court now. We've seen abuses with the FBI director. We've seen cover-ups by DOJ. We've seen activist, politically motivated FBI agents. And these are facts. Like, none of that is subject to really any debate.
Carl, my question, I actually have two questions on this. Number one, you just raised the point, so let me follow up with this question. Now that the cat's out of the bag in terms of trying to redefine executive powers to fit a political narrative, how do you put it back in with the next guy? Can you? I mean, because these rulings now are on the books. So let's say it's a President Bernie Sanders, heaven forbid, in a couple of years. How does this Hawaii judge, when the same thing comes in front of him and he wants it because it's Sanders, go, I was wrong back then. I'm right. What does he do?
I don't know. I mean, that's an excellent question. I'm going to have to think about that, and maybe we'll save that for like a series of podcasts. But, you know, I have these conversations with people who are willing to have these conversations with me. You know, if you are an advocate for securing the borders, that does not mean that you're a racist, right? I mean, the country's become so polarized that literally you say, I'm not for unfettered immigration. I think as a former law enforcement official that it's important to know who's coming into your country. That is not a racist comment. You know, we're shaking down old ladies at the airport, TSA is, who have almost zero chance of doing anything on a flight that would endanger passengers. Yet we're subjecting them to intrusive screening procedures, but we're not going to do the same to people who want to come into the country, right? Who are part of a culture that, I'm not saying that the individuals want to destroy us, but certainly there is a huge segment of the culture that wants to destroy us.
Let me follow up with this. Are we reaching a point now where these lower courts don't even matter because everything's ending up at the high court anyway? And the high court, at least the fair ones, the ones that are reasonable in the middle, like a Kennedy, are looking at this going, my gosh, man, that's just clear judicial activism that you don't even care what the case was or the merits of the case. You're just ruling based on politics. Are we setting a dangerous precedent that these lower courts don't even matter anymore?
Well, right. I mean, they're certainly, because they're coming down on these obviously political sides, and any person like you or I who is following this is like, this is a joke. Right? I mean, it's a joke. These judges are supposed to uphold the rule of law, not create law because they have political biases, because they're progressive judges. And now they're going to be activists, you know, in terms of finding wiggle room to get around the president's authority to secure the borders. And I think, you know, sometimes I think this term is overused, slippery slope, but I honestly believe that we are headed for a huge crisis in terms of institutional safeguards that have been around for a very long time, and people losing faith in those institutional safeguards is very dangerous for our country. You're listening to Carl Brizzi Live. I'm Carl Brizzi. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Carl Brizzi, former Marion County prosecutor. When I was prosecutor, I had a saying that criminals have a choice, victims don't. Now that I'm in private practice, I represent people who were injured who also didn't have a choice. I'm at Lewis and Wilkins. You can find me, contact me, carlbrizzilive.com. All right, welcome back to Carl Brizzi Live. It's Carl Brizzi. We were talking before the break about the Trump versus Hawaii case that the Supreme Court heard on Wednesday that is basically a challenge to the president's authority to curtail immigration from eight specific countries. And look, we can have a whole discussion about immigration and how unfettered immigration creates a clear and present danger to the United States. I'm going to hold that off for a different show. We've talked about that some, Rob Kendall. But the bigger problem that I see here is that you have the so-called Trump resistance, right? And it involves the courts, and it implicates the DOJ, it implicates the FBI. I mean, we've seen it. And this sort of everything goes effort to delegitimize the Trump presidency is super destabling for our country. And again, I'm not talking about necessarily for the next 3 years, but I'm talking about, you know, who succeeds Trump and the precedent that we are setting. You know, the raid on Trump's personal attorney, is it Mike Cohen? Cohen's office. You know, you had efforts at the very beginning of his election where people came out to, you know, challenge the legitimacy of the election. They followed that with, you know, he's unfit for office. He should be impeached. And, you know, we've seen the FBI leak information. We've seen them alter memos to exonerate Hillary Clinton. James Comey literally did his little stunt because he thought that Hillary was going to be elected and he didn't want to delegitimize her her presidency. I mean, this goes on and on and on. And as the resistance, as the Trump resistance goes from one ploy to the next, it ignores the string of failed efforts because every effort has failed, obviously. They don't learn anything from it. And they are setting a very dangerous precedent for the future. You know, they've called him every name in the book that you can possibly think of, which has really never been done before, to a sitting president. You know, comparing him to Mao, Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin. You know, if you spend any time at all watching MSNBC Morning Joe in the morning, I mean, their brains are melting. They are literally apoplectic.
Why do you watch that show? Why do you do that to yourself?
Well, because it gives me fodder, gives me stuff to think about and write about and talk about. Maybe I should change that tactic up a little bit. It doesn't drive me.
I feel like you're
as,
harming yourself.
Yeah, I likely am. People have told me that before. But, you know, I mean, look at Comey, the former FBI director, running around the country doing this book tour. You know, going on all sorts of TV shows. This guy has leaked confidential memos. He's lied to Congress. He's misled a FISA court. He's admitted that he based the handling of the Clinton email investigation on the assumption that she'd win the presidency. I mean, this guy is a piece of work. If Comey doesn't get indicted, that to me would be a real shock. In addition to,
McCabe.
McCabe. Yeah. He's the other one.
Let me ask you this, Carl. When you were prosecutor, the equivalent of a Comey would be what? Like the Marion County Sheriff or IMPD Chief or...
Yeah.
So like, just,
yeah.
I realize it's not the same, but I'm just trying to make equivalency.
Yeah, it would be the head of whatever law enforcement.
Sure. Can you imagine that person going on a book tour talking about all the personal stuff, the interactions you guys had, about open cases?
No.
While you're still trying to put everything, I mean, I just, it's like, I look at it, it's like, whatever, you guys don't like each other, that's fine, whatever. But for this to be happening now, it's like, this just seems so Twilight Zone-y to me.
Well, and don't think for a second, you know, speaking about when I was prosecutor, that we didn't have knockdown, drag out fights with law enforcement organizations because they wanted one thing and we saw it differently in terms of the evidence or the probable cause or the charges that we were going to file. That happens all the time. But that stays within the family, right? I mean, that's how, you know, we work towards a common solution, which is to hold bad guys responsible and make sure innocent people don't get caught up in the net. And that's completely normal. But going on a book tour and being embraced by all of these progressives. And here's what's crazy. These are the same progressives who less than a decade ago would have been the ones who are super critical of the deep state, of the FBI, right, of surveillance, of FISA courts. And now, because Trump is president, you know, their brains can't compute that, you know, they're trying to make these law enforcement investigators like superhuman, you know, where they're not influenced by bias. And it's nonsense. It's totally nonsense.
Yeah, it's really bizarre to me. And then hearing, I don't know, I mean, every family, every person's entitled to their own political opinion. But it just seems weird, like hearing Comey talk about how pro-Clinton his family was. And I mean, it's like, how am I supposed to believe that you were making unbiased decisions when you're so open about this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I heard somebody say that he's building a perjury case against himself. I mean, every time he opens his mouth, he says something dumb. I mean, I know he's not a dumb guy. I think he's been sort of caught up in all of this, like many others have. You know, the other thing that really bothers me while we're on the topic is, you know, this process of normalizing violent speech against the elected president of the United States. You know, several people have, especially some of the celebs like De Niro, who I used to be a big fan of, you know, calling for the president to be pushed down an elevator shaft or decapitated or shot or, you know, what kind of nonsense is that? I mean, could you imagine somebody saying that about President Obama? What would happen?
Yeah, if it were in reverse.
Yeah, if it were in reverse.
That person's jailed. I mean, right? I mean, he's publicly shunned and probably sitting in a jail cell somewhere.
Well, I had something else that I wanted to share with you, speaking of what potentially, you know, could or would happen in a situation like that. Shania Twain. You know Shania Twain?
Canada's finest.
Yeah. So she was being interviewed by The Guardian. And I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase here. She was being interviewed by The Guardian. And they said, would you vote for Trump? And she said, you know, I'm Canadian, but I think that I would have voted for Trump because not because I agree with all of his positions on things, but at least he seems honest when he's speaking. Well, what do you think happened? She got Twitter bombed, hate mail, all of this pressure from these social justice warrior progressive types. And she's not allowed now to express the opinion in support of Trump. All of these people rally. And of course, what does she do? But issues an apology and backtracks on what she said during the interview, which I find totally disgraceful.
That's an interesting comment too, Carl, because it piggybacks on the whole Jay Feely Twitter photo thing where he's holding the unloaded gun with the daughter and the prom date. And I love this stuff, but I go, why are you apologizing?
Yeah.
You didn't, same thing with her. You didn't do anything wrong.
No. And you are 100% entitled to your opinion. And the people who are bullying her are 100% entitled to their opinion, but they don't have a right to bully her into submission. Like, don't buy her album. Fine. You know, I think the next time that happens, somebody like a Shania Twain or another star would say, go to hell. You know what? If you don't value my right, my First Amendment right, or my right to free speech, if you don't value the fact that I actually have an opinion that you don't have to agree with, but you don't value my right as a divine human being, as an independent soul, to say and think what I want, don't buy my records. Don't come to my concerts. You know, and I bet you half of the country would have made her a hero.
Yeah, you'd get a lot more than you'd lose.
I think so. Hey, man, great show. This is Carl Brizzi. Carl Brizzi Live. You can follow me Twitter at Carl Brizzi. We'll see you next week. This is Carl Brizzi, former Marion County prosecutor. When I was prosecutor, I had a saying that criminals have a choice, victims don't. Now that I'm in private practice, I represent people who were injured, who also didn't have a choice. I'm at Lewis and Wilkins. You can find me, contact me, carlbrizzilive.com.